Okay, I was a little jacked up last night when I got home. So I wrote two more messages. Anyone want to stick around to like Monday or Tuesday? Hey? I kind of did. Just a couple real quick things. Again, that prayer is there. Anybody wants any CDs? These cards, if you grab it, from my heart, what God is really stirring me is my new grandchildren. Okay? So keep my boys and my grandchildren seriously in your prayers. And if you get a card like that, that would be my, you know, my prayer request for you. We're good? I can go, you think? We'll find out. Oh, wait, I got to do my little roll here. We'll get this all figured out by the last time. Okay, I started with this. Remember? I said, Fort Wilderness, men's retreat, what's the outcome? Boy, doesn't it seem like a long time ago? And I want to say something. Somebody blessed me in here. I'm going to be honest with you. The first night, I struggled a little bit because, like, I'm used to my men's group, and I've got 50, 60, 70 guys. I've been working with them 5, 6, 7 years, and you, like, you were all new faces. And it was like, oh, this is a little harder. And I was talking to a brother the next day, and I just shared that a little bit. I said, it's not like, they're not like my guys. And he said, no, Len, we are your guys. I really got blessed by that. So thank you. I can't remember who said it, but that was really a blessing. But here's what I asked, that you personally experience the intimate power and presence of our triune God. Shout amen if that happened to you this weekend so far. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? And I told you this then. I said, listen, through worship, the word, prayer, and play, and I said this, it'll happen if you what? Hunger and thirst after right. And I want to thank you for blessing me. Because the reason you're sensing some power here is because you came hungering and thirsting and God fed you. I mean, like, the steak fry thing was the coolest thing I've ever seen. But I think God fed you beyond the wonderful food here. Amen? I really do. Now, I want this to be really clear to you. I didn't share it the first day, but I want you to understand. This is so important to me. Paul starts 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and he talks about his weaknesses. Okay, I didn't put it all up there. I'm a weak man. And he says this, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That's what you've seen from this, I guess, older man now on the stage. I'm hoping that this scripture came alive with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but in God's power. Make sense? That's why this all happened. You came hungering and thirsting, and God just brought an obedient servant who's, you know, as you obviously know, these messages have been going through my mind for the last few months. Okay, let's get going this morning. I got to ask you a question. Why did Jesus walk the earth?
Be an example to us.
Be an example? What else? Why else did he walk the earth? We could relate to him, right? For relationship, right? I do a little teaching. I said, you know what? Jesus is like my life coach. He is like the best life coach you can get. Because you guys hit it right on the head. I think Jesus walked the earth, right, to show us how to live. If you have any questions how to do life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't know how many times I've said that in my life. I hope I can say it 30 more years. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I just read this and it was just really touched my heart. I don't know if any of you have that little devotional called Jesus Calling. Some powerful things can speak to you. I don't use it a lot, but I use it once in a while and it just really touches me. In closeness to me, you are saved. In the intimacy of my presence, you are energized. Ever since the fall, man has experienced a gaping emptiness that only my presence can fill. It's so true. When you commune with me in the garden of your heart, both you and I are blessed. This, and this is so important, this is my way of living in the world through you. you know, when hard things happen, people say, where's God? Well, you know where he is? He's in that neighbor that loves Jesus and will come in and intercede in that situation and be there. He lives through us through all these painful trials. Together, we will push back the darkness that is capturing so many souls, for I am the light of the world. And I love this end. And I will shine through you. If you want one takeaway, man, Jesus, shine through me. Bring me to that fruit of the Spirit so it's gushing out. I just felt a little bit more joy in our worship this morning. Amen? It was just more joyous. And that fruit got a little plumper. Okay? Okay, today's message. This is the takeaway line right here. If you remember one thing, this is all you have to remember. Jesus was a stone catcher, not a stone thrower. Jesus was a stone catcher, not a stone thrower. I'm going to go to John 8. Not putting the whole chapter up there, but you know the story. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. There they were, just like this, tempting our Savior, right? They had him right here. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone that woman. So easy, isn't it? To get caught up in that? So easy to see all those things. But Jesus bent down. He started to write. I think I knew what he was writing. Got down in the sand. Didn't say a word, but he just started writing. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. And then I think he wrote, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then amazing things started to happen. Never said a word. Then it says this, they began to go away one at a time. Then he looks at the woman, he says, has no one condemned you? Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. I want to tell you something. I want to make this very clear. Her sin was not adultery. That was not her sin. Her sin is she didn't know her Savior. Her sin was a heart condition. Her sin was she didn't have an intimate relationship with God. It's not those visceral things that you see out there all the time, and it's so easy to condemn it and say bad things. No, 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 no. The sin was she didn't know the Messiah. That was the sin. And that's what leads us to all these abhorrent behaviors. Okay. And that's why Jesus said, I don't condemn that. But you need to come to know me. And he, beautiful words. Let anyone here, let anyone here who is without sin be the first to throw a stone. So let's look at stone throwers and let's look at stone catchers. Real quick, real simple. Stone throwers, they judge, they condemn, they slander, they gossip. Happens all the time. Probably the biggest place on the gossip thing is the work world, right? Man, I've worked all over the place, and you get in there and you get in the back room. Oh boy, this guy did. I said, oh yeah, I agree with you. It's just amazing what comes out of our mouth and what goes thinking through. And every time those thoughts come, guess what you're doing? You're throwing a stone. You're throwing a stone. But stone catchers, man, they have a different life. Stone catchers are spirit-filled. They're filled with the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace. Have you ever had a tough boss? Long-suffering. And by the way, you know why that tough boss is in there? Because Jesus wants to make you more into his image, correct? So he tells it. I mean, it's really clear. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith should work patience, and let patience have your perfect work. How many of you got joyful when you show up Monday and your boss is hired? Man, praise the Lord. Okay? But that count it all joy is really a powerful verse. It says God is working in you. You should be thankful for that trial. Because that means, man, He's perfecting you. He's still working. He's still got hope in you. Catchers, they love people. They empower people. They disciple people. They encourage people. Jesus was a stone catcher. So let's look at some of the characteristics of stone throwers. These are hard verses for me. I get very convicted. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like those other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like a tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I got. I'm at church. I lead worship. I do this. Man, I am so thankful I'm not like those other people. Spiritual pride. What caused the universe to collapse? Pride, right? It's the greatest of all sins. Satan's pride. It is the greatest of all. You know, go to Proverbs. It's pride. Spiritual pride is such dangerous ground. The stone catcher. Listen to this. But the tax collector stood at a distance. At a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. Talk about a broken man. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Psalm 51, David became a broken man. Humility is the characteristic of a stone catcher. But by the grace of God, there go I. So pride leads to stone throwing. Let's look at a couple quick examples. And guys, it didn't take us long to get all messed up, did it? Didn't take long. Then the Lord looked with favor on Abel's offering, correct? Because it was done with intimacy. It was done with humility. It was done honoring God with the best that he had. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry. Very angry. Wait a minute. This was pretty good stuff I just put on that pile. And my brother, forget it. And his face was downcast. Spiritual pride. Paul talked about it. And Saul approved of their killing of him. Paul will talk about humility and brokenness, but Saul of Tarsus was about as prideful. You know, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, I trained under Gamaliel. There's nobody. I'm the man. Get rid of them. Stone them. Give me your coat so you can throw the stone a little bit harder. I'll hold on to them. Who is this young man full of the Holy Spirit? Stone him. Spiritual pride leads to judging others. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with measure you use it. It will be measured to you. So how do you become a stone catcher? How do we stay there in that secure place? First thing, you have to recognize this internal conflict. There's a battle going on. It's wonderful because I love Psalm 139. And this is, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Oh my gosh, what God wants to do with you. You know, he thought of you before creation. It's perfect. Everything was made through Jesus. So you see that side. Yes, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It's incredible. But then you know that battle that goes on. Psalm 51. Surely I was sinful at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness in the womb. You've got that humility. You see Jeremiah 29:11 just taking place. You know God has these incredible plans, but you're humble, and you know all things depend upon Christ. Apostle Paul lived spiritual humility. I'm in this verse a lot. For I do not do the good I want to do. Well, we could get a lot of amens to that one, right? But the evil I don't want to, this keeps on doing. Oh, wretched man. Here's the power, guys, right here. This is the whole thing about stone catchers. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Let's get excited. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Yeah. Let's give him a hand clap. Come on, seriously. Whoa. That is powerful. That is powerful. That's it. That's a stone catcher. I know. Gosh. But yes, Jesus Christ is going to keep delivering me and delivering me. It's that ladder of sanctification. I'm not getting deep on that one. But you keep making that step up and that step up and that step up until that final step. He just grabs your hand. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Stone catchers. This is a key thing. You really become a true... You embrace God's heart and passion for humanity. You get it. I find this fascinating. I love Ezekiel 34. I love Ezekiel 34. Shepherding. It's all about the shepherding. Okay? Guys, give me a second here. I thought I redid this. Yeah. Okay, here we go. I want to start with this verse. Never mind. I just did a little reworking last night, so give me a little grace on that one. It starts first, and I love this verse because it's the only time I see it in the entire gospel. You know, it tells us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. But now Jesus kind of defines what it means to love him. And this is the only account I see. And look who he's looking at. Simon Peter, like the dude of all dudes. I mean, he's taking like numero uno. So that's a message for us. This is my guy. He could have picked anybody. He said, Simon, I got to ask you this. Do you love me? More than these. Yes, Lord. You know I love you. And Jesus simply said this, feed my sheep. How many times did he ask him? Three times. Did Peter get a little frustrated? Did you ever think why he asked him so many times? He brought Peter because he was driving this point home. Oh, you really love me? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Lord, I love you. So I'm commanding, feed my sheep. And where do we find everything about a sheep? It's Ezekiel 34. This had such a huge impact on my life about a year and a half ago. We did a group kind of study, leadership study, and we hung out in Ezekiel 34. And we talked about what we were doing at the church. And then the thing you'll take out of Ezekiel 34, and he just condemns the shepherds because the shepherds were just worried about the flock within the walls. And he said, you're missing the point. You're just worried about your positions and about your little flock here. You need to go out. That's what I love about Fort. You're just going out. They're coming from everywhere. You're just going out. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself, because the shepherds failed to go, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I will rescue them from all places. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Because he condemns the shepherds because all they're doing is staying in their little comfortable house in their little area right there. And he said, you know what? If you don't do it, I'm finding somebody else. Believe me. The blessing's going somebody else, somewhere else. Stone catchers have God's heart to feed sheep. Stone catchers have God's heart to realize sheep are everywhere. They're everywhere. And they're hurting. And they're broken. And they've been stoned. They're bruised. Because they've been judged and they've been condemned and they've been abandoned by mankind. The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. But Jesus came and he empowered you because you're supposed to do what? I've come that they might have life. And more abundantly. We're going to pause for a second. I want you to think of somebody right now that is really trapped in a dark place. That is really hurting right now. Maybe somebody in your family, maybe a friend, maybe a coworker, somebody you know. Lord, we pray for them. I pray that you would use these men to bring life to them. Abundant life. Maybe through their words, but probably through your love and words and deeds in the whole package. I pray that every one of these men within this year will have a testimony of touching the life of someone, and they will come to a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. So speak to their hearts right now. Speak to their minds right now that they will be a stone catcher for that person's life. Amen. Stone catcher set a large table, man. It's fun to read the gospel. I said something last night about how much Jesus loved to eat. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him. And his disciples were there, were many who followed him. Man, did he have a big table. A big table. How big is your table? While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of who? Simon the leper. Do you understand how defiled you could be in those days by hanging out with a leper? I mean, it was like off the charts. If you go back to the Levitical law, he'd have to be like isolated for like, what about, hey, Simon, how you doing, buddy? I haven't seen you in a while. Oh, sorry about those nubs, but you'll make it. He had a big table. He was just blowing them away. Everything he did drove into the heart of the Pharisees because it was the heart of God. The Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite. Now, this is pagan and heathen and the whole thing. This is as bad as it gets. And he tells a table story. A Canaanite woman from the village came to him crying out, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Let's go back to Ezekiel 34, right? Because now he's speaking truth to that scripture. He's like, oh no, I'm only supposed to see Israel. And she, the Canaanite woman, already saw the power and the love of Christ, understood who he was. Lord, help me. You know that person you just prayed for, I hope God revealed? Even though they might not be saying it, they're seeking help. I guarantee you. I've worked with a lot of troubled families in my life. And here's the one common thing. They're just looking for that one person that will walk in and enter and walk with them. And just walk with them. And he said, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. This is so important. This is your calling right here. For you are God's handiwork. King James says workmanship. You are created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. And I love this part. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. Until your last day, it's all laid out, man. I never did look at the agenda at Fort. Apologize for the Q&A. But when you got here, the whole agenda was laid out. And we stuck pretty good to it, Craig. You know, all those times and everything was all laid out. Guess what? Your life is laid out the same way. God's got good works for you planned. And if you don't do it, my brother's going to come in and do it. Or he's going to ask that brother to come in and do it. But it's all laid out for you. And your biggest regret when you get to heaven, you'll look and see the real plan God had for your life. And all those incredible opportunities that you didn't have. I mean, I just had this incredible run, and all of a sudden, 8 years ago, I just get tossed out of the blue into the Native American world. Just out of the blue, tossed into that world. Had a trip up, and you saw that in Sam's presentation. After that, I had no, I was at a school for 34 years. I had a great job. I was staying there for, you know, whatever, as long as I could. I was up on that reservation. 3 weeks later, I turned in a letter of resignation. And all of a sudden, I end up over at Lakeland working with the Native Americans locked up. No plan. I had no desire in my heart. No thought of work. But you see, he prepared good works for me. I wasn't looking for it, and he just opened up the door. 8 years. And I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be blunt. If you know anything about me, I'm transparent. I'm authentic. When I told my friends, my, you know, faith community, I was going up to Flambeau, they were like, oh, you know, it's a real pagan society up there. Oh, there, you know, drugs and alcohol. And, oh, ooh. I said, oh, okay, yeah, okay, I know, yeah. I went to school there. I'm good. Love never fails. I ran a program for 8 years. Within 4 years, we turned the Native American graduation rate from 54% at Lakeland High School, which is standard, to 97%. I had a superintendent that was a Holy Spirit-filled man. And he said, Len, I trust you. You just do whatever it takes. So I spent my summers knocking on doors, having a cup of coffee. Hey, guys, I want to watch your faces on this one. I preached in the casino twice. You know how we got him there? Free dinner and gambling bucks. And I ponied up for some Packer tickets, too, for the big drawing. And I brought Jeremiah 29:11 alive, and Tweety was there. Tweety Thompson. She was there. And the elders were there. And I said, I'm going to tell you about your kids. I know the plans God has for them, plans to prosper them. There's a hope and there's a future, not to harm them. And the elders were crying. Tears were running down their faces. And people were judging these people. Oh, they're not very spiritual. And I just went in there and I kept loving and it got contagious. And then now I'm showing up at family gatherings. Yeah, and it's a hard life. Showing up at funerals. My favorite dad of all time did a drug overdose. He sat in my office, told me how much he loved Jesus and his addictive struggles. We prayed many a times. I had his two boys. And then I got the call one night. Eric passed away. He lost his battle with drugs. And I sat with the family. They do funerals a little bit different than we do funerals. But I just went in there in love. And I just got this a few days ago because I retired. And the tribal chief of Lac de Flambeau had the new administrative team in from the high school, and he's blunt guy. He said, I got one question for you. Lenny Larson's gone. He had no agenda when he came here. He just loved on our kids and loved on our peoples. What are you going to do now? I'm not lifting up Lenny Larson. I'm lifting up when the Spirit of God is working through you. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? Okay? What? By the way, those are big boys. On your left is Sugar Cane Chapman. And that's his birth name. Sugar Cain Chapman. And that's James the Beaver Wee Wasson. And I got him through high school. Hallelujah. And it wasn't an easy gig. But we got through. Here's a crazy story. This was this winter. You see, man looks on the outside, but what does God look on? The heart. Craig, you might be aware of this a little bit. When I spoke to the youth at Faith Free over the winter. Were you aware of that? Randy Quaid, youth minister, had heard Sam's story in a No Regret. He said, Len, I'd love you to come and talk to our youth group. I said, that's cool. Good, I'll do that. Judy Juries, who's a dear friend of mine, a deep Christ lover, was at Holy Family Catholic Church, and I happened to give her one of these CDs. That's why you got to give these out. She calls me up. She says, Len, I've got the junior confirmation class of 24 kids. Would you come and tell Sam's story? I said, let me think about that. I thought that night, and I said, I got a better idea. I called Randy. I called Judy. I said, I'm going to bring all the kids together. These kids go to school together. They play sports together. They walk the halls together. Let's celebrate faith together. Guess what we did? We got Eagle Brook, we got faith, we got Holy Family, and we got the Holy Spirit that night. 120 kids, 100 kids, and man, did the glory of God come down. But it gets better. After that, Judy said, man, my kids have a lot of good questions, Len. Would you come out and start teaching our confirmation class? I said, well, do you kind of need approval of that? Yeah, don't worry about that. First night I get out there, and I'm just like, kind of like a babbling fool. I'm just going through the whole Gospel of John. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God through Him. And I'm just kind of going through John 1, John 2, John 3, John 4, just quoting Scripture. At the end of the night, this is exactly what happened. Judy said, you know, we've been in the confirmation catechism long enough. We're going to do what Len says. We're all going to get Bibles. And we're going to start reading the Gospel of John together. It gets better one more time. They asked me again one more time. And she said, Len, we have a new youth priest, Noah. He wants to come. I said, oh, I'd love to have him. I was a little bit more prepared. I'm teaching. And I'm going to say, I know a lot of brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm going to say everything. Noah is a South African, who is a youth priest that just moved up a couple months, like in January. I've never seen anybody with more Jesus joy pouring out of his pores. Seriously. I couldn't get one word out. Lynn, I have a question. I'm so excited. I'm learning so much about Jesus, but I have to ask you this. And it went on and on and on. Isn't God good? Good works. He's prepared. Now, do you think I ever imagined myself teaching the Holy Family confirmation class? Praise God. Remember, we're looking on the outside, but God, Billy Graham said it, and I heard it one time, and he said, Protestants, you better start liking your Catholic friends because you're going to be shocked. There might be more of them in heaven than us. He took a little flack for that when he said, hey, I'm standing by it. You know, what? I can't even begin to tell you the blessing this has been. And when those kids saw me in the hall in the high school, because I don't usually get to work with the better kids, hey, Mr. Larson, can I come in and talk to you? I don't have time. I shouldn't make time. If I ever get back here again, I have a testimony of a young man who had a radical faith encounter with Jesus, driving to school, listening to this CD where he had to pull the car over. He walks around school from this group with his Bible in his hand, preaching the gospel every day now. I mean, it was radical. Because I had a heart of Ezekiel 34. I told you about our men's retreat last year that we did. This is the stone catcher event. That's what I called it in my heart. It's a stone catcher event. We reached out. We had 225 men. Pat Shields was there. He knows everyone. He said 90% of these people are not from any church that I know of. And these men came from everywhere. And my men's group after this event went from 40 to 50 to 60 to 70. They just started showing up. They keep coming and coming and coming. Whatever you do for one of the least of these, how big is your table? This is my new friend, Elmer. Just met him like 3 weeks ago. This is so powerful. So my kids got a new house. Elmer is a contractor, painter, and this was only a God thing. My daughter-in-law is pretty anal. When they put everything in, she didn't like it. Has to be redone. So they sent Elmer over. And man, this guy can paint. And I just got authentic. Just kind of became a friend to him. After the second day, he starts witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. Isn't that cool? Really? But it's a hard word, guys. I'm going to tell you exactly what he said. He said, I'm from Guatemala. And when I was 6 years old, the Assemblies of God had a school for us down there. Assembly of God does a great job in Latin America. And my whole family came to faith. But in my teenage years, I drifted away. But I love Jesus now. I love Jesus. And in my faith, I am to love Jesus and all people. I don't understand Americans. because I know this is a Christian nation. And I knew exactly what he was saying. Elmer has been here 20 years. He came legally. Okay? He told me some deep stuff that's really hard of just everything, you know, going on in his life. And I asked him one question. And he's a great guy. You would love him. Just a tender soul. I mean, we're like buds. Okay? We really are. I've got his phone and everything like that. We're like buds. And the last day there, I said, I got to ask you one question. You've been here 20 years. You're a great worker. You've been in Fayetteville 8 years. Do you have a white American friend at all? Have you ever been invited to anybody's dinner table? He said, sir. He always called me sir. I didn't like it, sir. I said, no, tell me the truth. He said, never. He said, never. We're going to be back down there in 3 weeks. Guess who's coming to dinner? Elmer and his family. Because I've got a lot to learn from him. This is a couple years ago. Early morning. Oops, sorry. Downtown Chicago. Sheraton, downtown Chicago. I'm kind of an early riser. My wife is sleeping. It's Easter morning. I'm kind of pumped up. It's a beautiful, glorious morning. So, like, I'm walking around. Yeah, you got it. Didn't know it at the time. Just leave that one right there. I will let everybody else figure it out, right? And I'm just walking the streets and just having kind of a worship service and a praise service. And all of a sudden, I kind of had my eyes closed. I'm just worshiping. And this young man walks up to me, and he's asking for money. And he's kind of telling me his story, how they're living homeless under the bridge, him and his wife and his two kids. And I'm listening. I said, yeah. Why don't you stand up for a second? And I just got a little closer. And I said, yeah. And I put my arm right here, and he's talking more. And then I smelled the alcohol on his breath. I said, you know what? Yeah, he said, you're going to have a glorious day. Really, I'm going to help you guys out. No, you need to stand up again. We got to go the whole boat. And I said, but I'm going to tell you right now. I put my arm on him. I said, God is going to deliver you of this drug and alcohol addiction right now. And I looked at him like that, and I put my arm, and I just started praying. He started squeezing me and sobbing into my chest, sobbing and just sobbing and sobbing. And I kept praying and praying. Little did I know it was starting to get busy on the streets, okay? And all of a sudden, I kind of peek, and like, people, you know. And we got done, and he just looked at me, this brokenness, just freedom. You know, and I gave him some money, and I trusted his story. I said, listen, I want you to take your family out to dinner. I want you to have a night in hotel to get cleaned up, you know. And after I gave him that, I was a little bit tempted to kind of follow him to see where he went. But I said, no, you know what? I knew the Spirit of God was there, you know. Oh, the life of catching stones. Guys, I've been so blessed. Those fields are so ripened up. There's another generation coming. This is another incredible story of these guys. How many ever coach high school sports? Anybody in here ever be a varsity? Okay, you know what that's like, right? Take a bunch, and I'm just going to be blunt because I was one. I can take a bunch of hockey players, okay? I mean, the football players are pretty bad. The hockey players are worse. They really are. Oh, my gosh. These kids... God brought these kids into my life 2 summers ago. They were a year out of high school. One of them got radically saved. I mean, radically saved. Somehow we connected. Guys, it's been the most glorious 2 summers now that I've worked with them. One day I'm teaching, all of a sudden, the beautiful question, well, Len, why can't I be baptized? Well, you can. Boom, we went right down to Pickerel Lake. Put that Felice song down by the river, you know, and they got their little Hummers up there to movie play it, and I'm baptizing these young guys. Oh, my gosh, it was so glorious. These guys are on fire. These guys are on fire. They're full of love deeds and accountability. Guys, don't take this wrong. Every night we end in prayer. We're on our knees, and you should hear these kids pray. And you should see them bring their friends. They're just grabbing everybody they know. Your choice, guys. It's our choice. Every day, it's our choice. We can get up and throw stones. Right? It's our choice. Or we can get up and catch stones. Now, here's the only way you'll become a stone catcher. And I happened to see this on my table, and it just really hit me one morning. Right? Amen? We're going to end. I'm going to get the worship team back up here. I got a little special thing for you. I got a going away gift. I'd like you, just to make this a little bit more efficient, Craig, were you going to come up and help? Would you guys just slide to the middle? Because I got something to hand out to everyone. Will's going to play some worship. Craig and I are going to come down. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with this. I got a stone for everyone. I'm serious about this. It changed my life. I started this on my own first. I'd grab my stone every morning. I put it in my hand. I went to work. And I put it in my pocket. And someday on my tougher days at work, I held it in my hand. And when the thought even came, guess what happened? Conviction. It changed the way I spoke. It started changing the way. So my challenge is you take this stone and you carry it around and you hold on to it. And I'm going to tell you one last story. I met a guy who did my driveway over. I didn't even know he knew me. This is the only message I've spoken before. And he said, I got to tell you something. You changed my dynamics of my family. I said, what do you mean? He said, I heard you preach the stone catcher message. Really? He said, yep, and here's how we start every day. He had a blended family. Here's how we start every day in our house. We sit at the breakfast table, and we all put our stone out. He had two teenagers, him and his wife. We all put our stone out. And they're using it eternally within the family. And he says, it's changed our family. So we're going to grab a handful. We're just going to kind of go down, and you could help too, Jonathan, if you want to grab them, go to the back. I'm just going to give a handful and hand them down, and we'll see what we have. I know I have enough for everybody. Grab a stone. Just pass those down then. It's kind of like communion, but don't put it in your mouth, okay? I think that might be. If I'm short, let me know. Any extra ones we'll pick up. Hold on. Okay, there you go. You guys are... You might need a few more. I'm not sure. A little bigger than that. Take two. They're small. No, just... stand, I want to put your stone in your left hand. Okay? Put your stone in your left hand. I'm going to stand right here next to my brother. And I want to take your right hand, I want you to put it on the guy next to you. Okay? Put it on the guy next to you. Okay? Everybody get to a place that you can do that. Oh, that's right. We got that row thing. Yeah, we'll figure that out. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to end up in worship after that. Father God, you love us so much. Thank you for blessing me with this weekend. Thank you for where you've taken me. But I take this stone very seriously. Guard my mouth. James tells us how hard it is to guard the tongue. It's the hardest thing for man to do. We're so broken and so vulnerable. All we want to do is judge and condemn because it makes us feel better about ourselves. But change our walk, change our lives, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. I pray for the man next to me right now. I lay my hands on him, Lord. Jesus. Just pray for your brother right now. Thank you for my brother, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for my brother. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Thank you for my brother, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless my brother. Bless his family. Bless all of his work. Bless every day of his life. Pray for my brother. Thank you. Continue to lift the burdens of Fort Wilderness. Put him in your eyes. Let him just be that peaceful, joyful servant. Thank you for the work my brother has done in your help. Lift our hands to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Always be enough. Nothing compares.
Hallelujah.
No other name.
No other name.
Jesus.
Jesus.
My heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
No other name.
No other name.
Jesus.
And oh, I'm running. My heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
No other name.
No other name.
Jesus.
Jesus.
My heart will sing.
My heart will sing.
No other name.
No other name.
Jesus.
I really appreciate that. I want to thank him. I'll let Jonathan close.
All right, guys. What a great day. Gotta love the scriptures. Len, come on over here. I want to take a moment. Want to pray for Len.
Thank you. Also, you
can have a seat. We're gonna receive the offering that Craig had mentioned about, and then we have a video of celebration for our weekend. And so let's just have a word of prayer. Oh God, you are an awesome God.
Amen.
You are worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. And Jesus, we do lift up your name because there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Mm-hmm. And so we just thank you for the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for our brother Len. We thank you for the word that he spoke and the way that you used him in people's lives. In reality, Lord, we're thankful that he is your servant, but we know that it is Jesus that transforms lives.
Amen.
And so, Father, we just thank you for him. We thank you that you will take the word that was presented, the scripture, the truth, and you will use it in our lives for your honor and your glory.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the privilege to receive this offering. And Lord, we ask that you will be exalted in and through it. And Lord, as these men go in a little bit this today, we ask for safety as they go.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask that Jesus Christ is exalted in them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. Yep.